Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
You know, I was just thinking back to my New Year's Eve celebrations, and fast forward 2 months plus, it's been one heck of a roller coaster ride.
I can barely remember where I was on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So much has happened.
You didn't think that. You thought at the end of last year, and then you come back to work at the start of this year, phase one US-China trade war deal. So this thing is going to be behind us, and then COVID-19 happened.
Yep. And it's, like you said, it's been really up and down, hasn't it? And just when we thought that all of this was settling, we've got to think about what's been happening, particularly in terms of logistics. You know, this whole region functions on logistics. I remember back in November when we spoke to Lazada and we did Singles Day and we understood, you know, just the big project that goes into making sure that things get to where they need to be in this big Asian ASEAN economy, right? Well, let's talk about outbound freight rates. They're skyrocketing in the midst of all of this. And it's on the back of the weeks-long labor shortage that we've experienced and disruptions to logistics, the links that continue to dog all of the operations in China. Although there's still international air and ocean capacity, but much of it's reduced from before, isn't it?
Yeah, this is set to catch on in air freight sectors elsewhere too. COVID-19, of course, spreading through Europe, potentially Latin America and the African subcontinent. What does this mean for a country like Singapore? Like you said at the start, we depend so much on import-export. Anyway, Singapore businesses can avoid the high cost in getting their supplies. Tell you what, on the line with us this morning is Raymond Krishnan, President of the Logistics and Supply Chain Management Society. Raymond, good morning. Good to hear from you. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. A bit different from the last time when we spoke.
I know. We were smiling a lot more then. Today is such a serious picture. COVID-19 outbreaks. Let's talk about the supply chain sector. In terms of feeling the pinch, where are we at right now? Or is it just the tip of the iceberg?
If you're looking at it in the Singapore context, I think shipments are starting to flow. That's what we're seeing this week. So we did have a hold up for shipments coming in from China in the last few weeks since Chinese New Year. We're starting to see that trickle in now. So that's a bit of good news. The floodgates haven't fully opened. We still have certain restrictions, especially for shipments coming out of the Wuhan area. But it's a bit positive in the sense that, yes, shipments are starting to move.
Well, this is really good to hear. I mean, we just mentioned how outbound freight rates are skyrocketing. First of all, can you just explain the implications of that and why it's happening?
Okay. Well, if you read the news every day, you hear more and more airlines taking passenger capacity out of the market. For example, Cathay Pacific yesterday announced they're grounding half or two-thirds of their fleet. So in all passenger aircraft, you've got belly capacity or cargo that's carried in the belly of the aircraft. So with the passenger fleet being grounded, you're seeing capacity coming out of the market. So more and more shipments are being diverted to full freighter aircraft, but there's also a limited supply of that. So we're seeing air freight rates going up as a result of that. You know, anything from 2 times to 3 times increase over what you'd normally pay, simply because there's no capacity or less capacity in the market.
Okay. What are the cargo rates right now, say, for example, from China to Singapore? How much of an increase are we talking?
I'm hearing things, or I'm seeing rate increases of 2 or 3 times.
Wow.
And some people are saying that they're even paying up to 6 times more for rates from China to Singapore or from China to the US West Coast.
So obviously this means, in terms of impact, it's more cost for businesses in Singapore. That's the most immediate thing that they'll face.
Indeed. And it's not just Singapore. As the virus spreads, as we're seeing, you know, it spread to Europe. I think we've now got some cases, more cases in the US, and it's spreading throughout the rest of the world. I expect this to actually roll out across the globe. I mean, you guys just mentioned a few minutes ago that the US is stepping up screening into the US from Korea. There's also then going to be less flights into the US from Korea. That means there's going to be less belly capacity or capacity in general. And you're going to see rates increase between, say, Korea and the US. And I expect that to happen intra-Europe and anywhere in the world, basically.
That then begs the question, if it means higher rates for businesses to have to handle, will they pass that to the consumer?
I'm sure they will. I mean, someone has to pay for the freight, for the increased cost, and that's expected. Although I'm sure some suppliers or some manufacturers will try and absorb that cost because they see it as a short-term glitch or short-term expense. And also what I expect to see is a lot of manufacturers or suppliers trying to divert to different modes of shipment. For example, instead of shipping by air, trying to ship by sea, or even taking a sea air option. That means shipping the cargo part way by sea and then the rest of the way by air or vice versa to help defray some of that cost.
So obviously this is probably not good news for a person that likes to do a lot of online shopping. But if, let's say, brick and mortar homegrown brands where supply is not as dependent, could this be an opportunity for them in this current landscape, in your opinion?
It is. Although I think even a lot of the homegrown brands still source and out of China.
Right.
So regardless of whether you buy online or whether you are a brick and mortar, like a Fair Price or a cold storage, you're still going to be sourcing from the same places.
So still not a regional dependency in that sense.
Oh, for sure. And when you talk about regional dependency, I think what's going to happen is this is going to be more impetus for people looking at being less dependent on China and looking throughout the broader region or different sources of supply instead of just that single sourcing from China. So it's more impetus, I think. In fact, I'm sure that this is happening today.
That's really interesting in terms of lessons that the world is learning from this. So I just want to bring up Lloyd's List. They, of course, specialize in shipping and maritime intelligence. So they reported on February the 19th that capacity cuts over the 8 weeks since Chinese New Year on Asia-Europe trade were going to come in much larger than any capacity cuts post-Chinese New Year in 2019 and 2018 comparatively. So much bigger this year. Do you think that, I mean, where was that actually coming from, these capacity cuts? What was the reason for that? Was it the China shutdown? Was it the fact that factories weren't online? Or is there something bigger?
No, for sure. There's always traditionally been capacity cuts or blank sailings after Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. Because while you've got this buildup of demand, you've got this push before Chinese New Year, you've got that push around Christmas, Thanksgiving to the US. And normally after Chinese New Year, you will see a capacity cut. But this year has been more pronounced than in previous years, because of COVID-19. All the factories were closed, people were not working. Even if you had cargo that was ready to ship, you couldn't find the truck drivers to actually bring your cargo from your warehouse to your port.
Really?
So, yes. And that was actually the main reason. So the vessels are still in service. They're calling at the certain ports. They might bypass a few. But the big challenge was because cargo from the factories and the plants couldn't get to the ports because there was a driver shortage.
So when things come back online, Raymond, does that mean that there will probably be some kind of inventory glut of some kind?
I think there's pent-up demand. So we will see a glut in some cases, but very often it's actually pent-up demand. So you know how when they first announced COVID-19, everyone was maybe a bit paranoid in Singapore and we all stopped going out. But after a week or two of staying at home and being homebound, we started going back to shops and restaurants. We started going back to offices.
Yeah.
So there's that pent-up demand. There's going to be a spike in demand. But I think that the supply chain or the volumes, the capacity that we have in the supply chains, that means as more flights come back online, as blank sailings are reduced, we will be able to cope with that demand.
Raymond, and just to get your thoughts on, you know, when you meet your friends in the same industry, you sit down over a cup of coffee, is there speculation that perhaps when everything gets back to normal, right now you see people getting smart, going to other sources. So when things get back to normal, is it possible that, you know, China's position as this global manufacturing hub status, you know, supplying to so many countries, do you think that status is under threat and it's going to come to an end and people no longer depend on China as much? Just in case something else happens.
It is going to be under threat. Will people stop sourcing from China overnight? No way.
Okay.
But there is that whole movement called the Anywhere But China movement. I've talked about it. The ABC movement.
Right.
So I've talked about it and written about it. I didn't coin that phrase. It was something that was coined way back in 2011. With the US-China trade war, with COVID-19, there's more of a push to actually look at sourcing outside of China. And the beneficiaries are going to be ASEAN. It's going to be other developing countries globally that people are going to look at. They're also going to be looking at opportunities around nearshoring or reshoring. That is bringing manufacturing back home, you know, maybe moving manufacturing back to the US or supplying the US markets out of Canada and Mexico. So that's certainly going to happen. Is it going to happen overnight? No. But with COVID-19, that's even more of a push. It's good news for a lot of developing countries, including Singapore.
Yeah, well, it's certainly forcing a really big shift in thinking for a lot of people, isn't it? It's shaken up our complacency about the current global world order. In fact, this came through with a lot of commentary around Donald Trump's visit to India at the beginning of last week. People saying that there's a recognition that you've got another large country with a huge population that you can also trade with. So are we going to see more of these shifts? Sounds to me like what you're saying is yes, absolutely. But do you think there's going to be more evenness globally?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, one of the benefits of COVID-19, if you want to look at it as such, it's forcing us to look at alternatives, because we don't just become complacent. It's also that if you have a supply chain that's working today, do you want to be the guy in your organization that says, hey, let's look elsewhere, let's stir up the pot and look at alternatives? Most of us are busy with what we do every day at work, you know, making sure the product's manufactured, it's shipped, it's sold, it's delivered, we get payment. We don't have time, or we don't want to take that risk of disrupting what we're doing. Mm. So this COVID-19 is actually forcing us to look at that. The other thing it's forcing us to do for a country like Singapore is to actually look overseas rather than just being reactive to what happens globally. There's also that chance for us as Singaporeans or Singaporean companies to actually look at bringing some of our expertise overseas. I mean, we've got our fantastic port infrastructure, our banking and financial hub. We've got this whole tech startup ecosystem that we have here in Singapore. Rather than just looking at the domestic market, rather than just reacting to what happens globally, how can we be proactive and actually maybe look at bringing some of our expertise outside of Singapore? So this is forcing us to look at things like that.
Raymond, just to quickly wrap up, Budget 2020 announced that the Singapore government will be helping businesses navigate through this hard time. I'd just like to get your thoughts. What's been done so far to help the supply chain sector? And do you think more could have been done to ease the burden?
I think more can always be done. But I think if you look at other governments and you compare to what Singapore has done, I think we are way ahead of the curve. You know, with like programs, there's this professional conversion program for professionals who want to switch industry to the supply chain industry. Mm. We've got all these automation initiatives that IMDA has. I'm not a spokesperson for the government by any means. But yes, more could be done, but I think we're way ahead of the curve.
Great. We've been speaking with Raymond Krishnan, who is President of the Logistics and Supply Chain Management Society. Sir, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.